This is a podcast from Seven Church, Bristol.
My name's Karen, and I run a small group here at Seven with my husband, Dan, who was there. Don't know where he's gone. And it is great to be here with you this morning. I'm actually very happy to be here with you this morning because that means that I am not out there running the half marathon or the 10K, which I would have actually been very tempted to do otherwise. But yeah, it is great to be here, and it's lovely to see you all. I wonder how many other people wish they were secretly running the half marathon this morning. Anyone? Anyone? No? Okay. Well, there is definitely something different happening in town today. The half marathon and the 10K are in full force. And when I was walking literally from the car park across the road into the doors, there were so many people walking on this stretch that I could hardly get across. It was absolutely crazy. And I have heard people talking about this half marathon and 10K for weeks, months probably. I don't know if you know anybody that's running it, but the prep that goes into it, the planning, the just what you're going to wear, just the nervousness before it. There is a lot of talking about the race. And people are responding to it in different ways. You've got some people that are running. They are absolutely going for it. They're involved. They're participating. They've got open minds to experiencing what is this race all about. Then you've got the crowds. The crowds are standing on the sidelines. They're watching. They are amazed at what's going on. I'm sure some of you, if you've ever been down there to watch it, it is incredible to watch what's going on. And most of them are standing there with blown minds, thinking, oh my gosh, they're amazing. I'm glad that's not me. I'm very happy to just watch. And then you've got the closed minds. You've got the people in the coffee shops. You've got the people in the pubs. You've got the people in churches who are sitting here thinking, cup of tea, donut, life is good. Why would you be out there running the half marathon today? So there are lots of different ways to respond to one event that is happening. And 2,000 years ago, on the streets in the Middle East, there was also something happening. There was a man called Jesus walking around the streets, talking about something called the kingdom of God. He called it good news. He was saying the kingdom of God is good news. And people were responding differently. On any given day, over a period of about 3 years, Jesus could be found talking about the kingdom of God. And it became a big deal. Thousands of people followed him around, listening to what he had to say. And just like what we've got going on out here today, there were different responses to what Jesus was doing. And I just want us to spend a bit of time this morning thinking about how people in the Bible responded to Jesus when he was talking about the kingdom of God, and then think about how we are responding today. It's something I've thought a lot about over the last few years, actually. What is the kingdom of God? What does that look like? But mostly, how am I responding to that? How am I responding to that message in my everyday life? So let's have a look at some passages together from the book of Matthew. In our small group, we've been looking at the book of Matthew, and it's got just so much detail around what the kingdom of God is and what Jesus was doing when he walked around on the earth 2,000 years ago. So we're going to start with the crowds. So we've got crowds out here today. Crowds watching that race, thousands of people watching. And just as we got crowds today, there were crowds that were following Jesus around, listening to his teachings and watching his healings. If we read Matthew chapters 5 to 7, they make up a whole collection of teachings that Jesus gave around something called the Sermon on the Mount, which is teachings around the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? So if you want to know a bit more about what the kingdom of God is, then have a look at Matthew chapters 5 to 7. Jesus goes into a lot of teaching. But at the end of Matthew chapter 7, it says, when Jesus finished saying these things, which was the teachings of the Sermon on the Mount, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. So the crowds were amazed. amazed at what they'd heard, amazed at what they'd seen. Thousands of them had their minds blown by Jesus. I don't know if you've ever thought about what it might have been like to be there at that time. I often have. But if I went out there today and watched that winner, whoever won the half marathon today, I'm not sure it's over yet, maybe it is, probably, definitely. But whoever won that marathon, half marathon today, if I had watched them win, I know that I would have been amazed. A few months ago, I went for a run with my son Noah, who was up here a minute ago. And as you can see, he's quite tall now. And we were running, and he said to me, I'll challenge you to run up that hill, which in hindsight, I think he just wanted a good laugh. But at the time, I was quite up for it. So I thought, OK, let's go. So we started running. And I think, to be honest, I mustered all my strength, and I think it actually was a pretty good effort to get up the hill. But when you're running next to somebody who has longer legs and more strength, he just flew up that hill, and my effort looked really pathetic, like really pathetic. And I know when I watch the people run the half marathon, they're running at a pace that is quicker than my sprinting pace. It's crazy. They're so fast. And I know that that just blows my mind. How do they do that? And when you're amazed at something, what do you do with that? What do you do with that sense of being amazed at something? Well, a lot of people talk about it, but they don't really do anything about it. These people that were watching Jesus, they didn't have a box to put Jesus in, because Jesus was doing something so different and so, just crazy that he didn't fit the boxes that they had for the current teachers of the law. They didn't know where to put him in their thinking. It says he spoke as if he had authority from God, as if he was God. What are they going to do with that? So many of them would have had their minds blown, but not really necessarily done much about it. But there are a few people in the Bible, in the book of Matthew, that took the next step. So let's look at that. If we continue to look at Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 22, it says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. So what was their response to Jesus? They left their nets and followed him. Why? Why would they do that? Well, I'm guessing that they had open minds. They were curious. They had a curiosity so deep, they wanted to know more. They wanted to find out more. Something about Jesus was intriguing enough that they wanted to go. Their minds were open, and it just led them to a whole new way of doing things. Their lives were incredible after that. And I think that's quite exciting. An open mind leading to a whole new way of living. When Dan and I got married, we both knew that we wanted to potentially spend some time living overseas, if the opportunity presented itself. So one day, the opportunity, shortly after we got married, did present itself. And we had open minds to what we trusted God was leading us in at the time. And God led us to the Middle East, and we lived there for a few years, and we lived a whole new way of doing things. For the disciples, their open minds led them to experience a whole new way of life that they could never have dreamed or imagined. So what responses have we got so far? We've got the disciples responding with open minds to Jesus. We've got the crowds amazed at what they've seen. Their minds are blown. And then the last lot we're going to look at, Matthew 9, there's a different response to Jesus. Matthew 9, 1 to 3, Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Some men brought him a paralyzed man lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, this fellow is blaspheming. And then if we go a bit further down in Matthew, to verses 32 to 34, we've got another little story. While they were going out, a man who was demon-possessed could not talk. A man was demon-possessed and could not talk was brought to Jesus. And when the demon was driven out, the man who had been mute spoke. The crowd was amazed and said, nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, it is by the prince of demons that he drives out demons. So here we've got the teachers of the law and the Pharisees. Now, these are people who read the scriptures, they knew the scriptures, and they, of all people, believed that they already knew who God was. They knew it already. They knew who God was. So when they saw him doing and saying things that didn't fit with their view of who God was, they decided that Jesus was speaking against God and that he was actually from the devil. Their minds were closed to a new way of thinking that Jesus was bringing because they thought they just already knew everything about God. So in the first few chapters of the book of Matthew, we see three different responses to the teachings of Jesus. Some had open minds, some had blown minds, and some had closed minds. And the question that I want us to ask today is, how are we responding to the teachings of Jesus? Because it really matters how we respond. If we're going to come here on a Sunday, if we're going to learn about Jesus, if we're going to be in worship, how are our hearts responding to Jesus? I might not have been there at the time of Jesus, but I still have an invitation to respond. Respond to the good news. Jesus called it good news. If it's good news, what does that mean? What does good news mean for me? I have the privilege that the disciples and the crowds and the Pharisees didn't have at that time. And the privilege is I know the rest of the story that happens in the Bible. That is such a privilege that we get to live in a time that we know that. Jesus walked around teaching about the kingdom of God. He then died, but he rose again. And I have the invitation of a relationship with God. That's crazy. That's crazy stuff. I have an invitation to a relationship with God. I have an invitation, and we only know this from later in the story, for the Holy Spirit to come and live in me and through me. That's crazy stuff. I have an invitation to partner with God to bring and see the kingdom of God coming in my everyday life. That's massive. What an invitation, guys. How are we going to respond? Not as a one-off prayer, but as a consistent response towards the message of good news that Jesus was talking about. I was in Nottingham last week for a conference, and one of the seminars was discussing what's been called the quiet revival. You might have heard about it. It's been in national news. Churches have been talking about it. People have been talking about it. It's this idea that in these times, lots of young people, youth, young adults, they are seeking after meaning in life. And they're finding it. They're finding it in Jesus. In the teachings of Jesus and in the message of good news that Jesus offers. They have open, seeking minds and the curious. Who is Jesus? What did he teach? What does this mean for me? They're showing up in churches, and we want to celebrate that. It's a wonderful thing. And David Jennings isn't here today, but he works for an organization called Fusion that we're also doing part of that seminar. And there's so many stories. He sends me a newsletter every now and again with stories of young adults coming to know Jesus, just random stuff, really beautiful stories. So if you want some encouragement about some of this stuff, just ask him to send you his newsletter. Maybe you're here today and the teachings of Jesus are new to you. Maybe you've got an open mind to explore them. Go for it. Be curious. Don't let that curiosity die. Ask people about it. Pray about it, talk to Jesus about it, explore what the good news is, what that means. But for those of us who've been following Jesus for a while now, how do we continually keep responding to the invitation to know God more and more and more, and to partner with him to see the kingdom of God coming in our time, in our lives, where we are, in our spheres? Well, in Matthew, Jesus tells us that very often the people who had open minds and saw Jesus do transformative things were people who had faith. If we go back to our story in Matthew 9, verses 1 to 2, it says, Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Some men brought to him a paralyzed man lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. And then he actually goes on and heals him as well a few verses later. Verse 2 says, Jesus saw their faith. There's other stories just around that same story in Matthew that talk about the healing of the Roman soldier, the woman that was healed from years of bleeding, the two blind men that Jesus healed. And in all these stories, and many more throughout the Gospels, we see that the key to them being open to who Jesus is and what Jesus wants to do in that moment was faith. So what's faith? You can look this up. Loads of people have asked this question. What would you say faith is? Well, one way we could say it is faith is trusting God with an open mind. Trusting God with an open mind. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we don't see. Confidence is about trusting. Confidence in what we hope for. Sure of what we don't see, but having an open mind. An open mind to be sure of what we don't see. When the disciples brought that man on the mat to Jesus, they were saying, we trust that you can heal. We're trusting you. Otherwise, why would we bring him to you? We're trusting you that you can heal him. We've got an open mind that you can do things, Jesus, that we don't yet know about. Faith is trusting God and opening ourselves up to him. It's not saying, I know everything about God. That's a closed mind. If we say we already know what God's like, we already know what God can and can't do, we're closed to what God could be doing in us, through us, in this time. Faith is saying, I want more. I want to know more. I want to trust you with an open mind. I want to know more. The disciples had faith. They left everything, everything, to follow Jesus. The crowds had faith, because they followed him around for months, for years. The blind men had faith. They trusted that God was going to heal them. But this is really important, and hear this. In all these things, we see that their faith was always based in who Jesus is. In what Jesus was doing, it was about Jesus. They didn't have to muster up faith, get as much as you can, find it from somewhere. They just had to respond to who they understood Jesus to be in that moment. Whatever level or understanding they had of who Jesus was, they had to respond to that. Same for us. Whatever level of understanding of who Jesus is, that's where our faith will lie. Bring that. Bring that faith. Who do you understand Jesus to be in your life these days? In your everyday life? In your every minute of your everyday life? What does it look like for you to have faith and trust him? A few years ago, I was at the point where I was feeling quite stuck. I was somewhere between having a closed mind and a blown mind. I had this weird thing going on, where if somebody opened up the Bible and started reading it, my brain switched off. I don't know what was going on, but I did it for quite a long period of time. something in my head was saying, oh, you know what the Bible says. You don't have to listen to this. Think about what you're going to have for dinner tonight. It was weird. It happened every time. My mind was saying, you know about God. You've been around this stuff for years. You don't have to concentrate. You know what it says. Just like flip back in a bit later. I don't know what that was about. Kyle spoke on the parable of the sower a couple of weeks ago, and he said, Jesus said in that parable, those who have ears, let them hear. And I was thinking, I had ears, and I was hearing, but I wasn't hearing. My mind had been switched off. It was closed. I was really skeptical. I was bored, and I was frustrated. I didn't know what to do about it. I was still coming to church, and we had a small group, and I loved it all. But my times with Jesus, my times reading the Bible with an open mind, they were minimal. So I made some intentional decisions. And I think often it comes down to choice. We have the choice. We can choose. So I chose. I decided that on an ongoing basis, I would ask God to show me more of who he is, but I would also make choices to put myself into situations where I could learn and I could grow. That looks different for everybody. Last week, Owen talked about the importance of rituals and routines. And he talked about it not being about the intensity of the experience itself, but that routine. The routine of coming to seven, the routine of going to small group, the routine of reading your Bible, the routine of meeting with Jesus. Having an open mind and having faith is an ongoing daily choice. And I don't always feel like it. I don't always feel inspired. But I'm trying to learn to keep being open because God has more. Always has more. I love walking my dog. Sadly, in December, she had an accident. She only has 3 legs now. Poor little Trixie. Which means my walks are shorter. She doesn't walk as far now. But it's a job that needs doing, but I try and see that job as an opportunity to listen to God. I'm only out for like 10, 15 minutes these days. But what if that 10, 15 minutes, God has something to say to me? I don't want to miss it. When I come to seven, what's God going to say? When I pray for someone, what does God want to show me? Another thing I've done is try to learn from people. There's so many amazing people out there. People around us, people on podcasts, people wherever, they challenge my thoughts, they challenge my decisions. I've learned from preparing small group. I love our small group, we have an amazing time, but I've put myself in a position where I'm trying to learn by preparing what we're doing. It's helped me grow. I don't know if anybody else has learned anything, but it's really helped me grow and learn. Doing this talk put me outside my comfort zone. It's challenging. It's challenging to stand up here and talk to you because, well, it's a bit scary, but also it's that sense of I've got to learn. I want God to learn and show me something. I got to spend time with God asking him, what do you want to say, God? I got to have my mind open. I love the Bible Project. It's taught me so much about the Bible, just the context, that stuff that I didn't know. Learning with an open mind has helped me understand more about who God is. And that grows my trust, and that grows my faith. And then there's also being a part of community. I keep mentioning small group because I love small group. But community is really important. We meet with people. And when we meet with people, we can also say, God, what are you doing here? What are you doing in people's lives? What is it that you're saying? In my experience, and especially over the last few years, God has always got more. We'll never get to the end of him. We'll never get to the end of our understanding of who he is, of partnering with him, and discovering what it means to be unconditionally loved by him. Romans 12, verse 1 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You can't do that with a closed mind. You have to do that with an open mind. When we open our minds to God, we ask him to transform our thinking. We're inviting him to make us into people who can do the next part of the verse. The next part of the verse says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I want to be transformed so that I can know and live in God's pleasing and perfect will, because that is a place of good news. So here's the challenge. Just as we end, have a think about this. Every day this week, whether it's a great week, whether it's a hard week, whatever you've got going on, what does it look like for you to say, I choose to open my mind to what God wants to show me today. I bring the faith that I have. I choose to trust you. Let me walk with you like the disciples did. Let me see you at work. I want to partner with you to see the kingdom of God coming today while I'm at work, today while I'm meeting friends, today when I'm with the kids, today when I'm cooking the dinner. Let me see you, Jesus. Let me see more of your life, more of your love, more of your kingdom playing out on earth, more of your beauty, more of your character, more of your generosity, more of your transforming power, more of your presence. And as we choose to trust, our faith in God grows. It's about him. And it's him that brings transformation. How will we respond? Kyle's going to come back. Kyle's disappeared. Kyle's left the room. Okay. Kyle was going to come back and play some music for us. But instead, let's just take a minute to respond. I would love you to pray with somebody if you would like to this morning, just in response to whatever it might be that you've got going on this week and you want to see God coming into your week. You want to have an open mind to see more of who he is in your situation this week. Whatever's going on in your week, why don't you pray with someone to invite God in? To invite God to show you his transforming power this week. I just want to share a picture that was given to me at the Vineyard Conference last week. A lady was praying, and she started praying for our church. And she saw the wind of the Spirit blowing through our church. She doesn't know what this building looks like, but in my head, I was picturing these doors that never open. These were opened. And these doors were open. And she said she saw the wind of the Spirit blowing through, just blowing through the church. And it blew a ship into the building. So the ship, in my head, was coming in this door and going out that door. And there was an offer to get on the ship. Not knowing where it was going, it was a bit weird. You don't usually see a ship blowing into a building in the middle of a fire station, in the middle of a city center. But knowing that God's Spirit and God's guiding was on that ship. And there was an invitation to get on. Would you have an open mind if you knew this was from God and not just somebody's kind of thinking, to get on that ship? When the disciples had an invitation to leave everything and follow Jesus, they did it. How would we feel about getting on a ship to follow Jesus? God is inviting us to make choices that say we trust you, God. We have faith in who you are. You're a good God who has good news. What would it look like for you to trust God in every minute and bring your faith this week? Why don't we go back into worship? As Kyle leads us, feel free to pray. There's people with lanyards on. You're welcome to approach them. And they'll pray for you, or I'm happy to pray as well. But, or please just turn to the person next to you as we've got a minute now and just invite God into this week. Invite his transforming power into this week ahead.